Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I am being accused, Tiki Barber, of breaking the ice cream machine at Yankee Stadium.
What?
So I wanted to go get myself some Mr. Softy ice cream. And there were many people in the media area after we did the show that said, Evan, it's free up here. What are you doing? You already waste your money on Nets season tickets. Like, can you just take the free ice cream?
Okay.
So I said, okay, you know what? You got me. I'll deal with not having a helmet. I'll just have the ice cream. So I go up there. I take the cup. I work the machine.
Mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I work the machine. The chocolate comes out. No sprinkles, but listen, what can you do? And then I leave, and I go about my merry way. I find out that after I played that machine to a fiddle, it broke down. And the first guy online waiting for the ice cream was Michael Kay, and he was not happy. So, Sean, did you throw me under the bus and say Evan Roberts broke the machine, or is it still a secret?
No, everybody in the world knew Evan Roberts broke that machine. It was Tiki. You couldn't even make it up. After talking about this on the air, he runs out like a little kid to go to this ice cream machine. And Tiki, you saw this yesterday.
Right.
There are thousands of international media there.
Uh-huh.
The dessert spread is out in the media room. So I ran quickly to the restroom and I went to follow him. But by the time I got to there were so many people who wanted ice cream at this specific time. The line had formed about six people deep. And there was Michael Kay, second in line behind Evan Roberts. Evan fills up his ice cream, runs out because God forbid he misses marking a ball and a strike in his scorebook. And the moment, basically, it was actually a person right in front of Michael Kay goes to pull down on the lever after Evan leaves, no ice cream.
Huh.
It won't come out. Like a bad McDonald's, the ice cream machine is broken.
So is it broken or is it just empty?
So they call over a person to come look at this. I think it was empty, but like it was trickling down, so the lever wasn't working right. The guy stands up who's working the place and turns to everybody online, including Michael Kay, and goes, gonna be at least 20 minutes, to which Michael Kay went, are you freaking kidding me?
See ya!
And I felt guilty because everybody's looking at me and they know I walked, you know, basically one of them, I said, Evan Roberts, classic Evan Roberts.
Oh, dude.
And Michael Kay just looked down the ground, shook his head. We all then got offline and retreated back. It was unbelievable. Everybody wanted ice cream this time. He cost it for everybody.
What inning was this?
This was early, man. I didn't waste much time.
Second inning?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So they were disappointed the whole game.
Yeah.
Did it ever get back up and working?
I can say it did. Me and Tom Izzo and Digital went back in the fourth inning. Like Evan said, no sprinkles. We were able to crunch up chocolate-covered pretzels in the soft serve, and it was very good from that point forward. It got fixed, but I'm not sure how many people like me were fat enough to go back or how many gave up. I think Michael Kay gave up and didn't get one last Yankee Stadium ice cream in the year because of Evan.
That's bad ice cream etiquette from Evan. Evan, you're at Yankee Stadium. You got to let the voice of the Yankees on TV get the ice cream first.
Yeah,
you got to let Michael go in front of you.
He needed soothing, cold ice cream, synthetic
ice
cream, soft serve to tenor voice resonate through the television.
Tiki, there was another great part of this. I forgot. The architect was with us as well, and he had moseyed down.
Oh, boy.
And he had saw a little bit of the chaos that was unfolding, and he looked at me and said, what's going on in there? I said, Evan just broke the ice cream machine. To which he said, do I need any more emails from the Yankees? And he was not happy about it. Not happy about it at all.
Well, look, I want to formally apologize to the New York Yankees and all the media members. I didn't know who was standing behind me, so I wasn't going to let anybody go because I was very focused on getting the ice cream and getting back to my seat. As you know, I take watching these baseball games very seriously. And I thought the ice cream was great. I thought they did a very good job. I shoved that chocolate down my mouth. It made me feel very good. Not having the helmet hurts a little bit.
You don't want to do you didn't want to do the swirl, the twist?
No. Nah. Not a swirl guy, Teague. Yeah. Just give me chocolate.
I had a fantastic lunch. I'm glad I got my ice cream early. I had the chicken's crispy chicken sandwich, which was delicious. Then I had the chocolate vanilla swirl.
Oh.
The soft serve. It was delicious.
So good.
Then I had a cup of fruit. It was a perfect lunch.
Yeah,
I actually felt healthy, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't mix in the fruit. I literally just shoved the ice cream
down. No, I had the fruit second. I had the fruit second. I'll tell you, the fruit is underrated awesome at Yankee Stadium.
It's a great way to trick yourself into thinking you ate healthy when you just ate a lot of ice cream.
That's exactly right. Because my cup of fruit was the same size as my cup of ice cream.
There you go, man.
Cancels out.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to apologize to everybody at the Yankees who didn't have their ice cream last night. I'm sorry. But just remember, you made a young boy happy, okay? This young boy had his chocolate ice cream.
I'm a baby.
And he smiled. Now, let me get to this manager. I said this to Sean last night as he was cursing out Aaron Boone. And I'll say this to Yankee fans today. Remember, the Yankees have a team option on Aaron Boone. There are already reports that the Yankees are likely to bring him back. Why wouldn't they? They just got to the World Series. If you are ready to move on from Boone because you don't like the individual managerial decisions, you don't like that he isn't hard on players, you don't like that there wasn't a lack or there was wasn't a lack of urgency, whatever reason you have, all I ask you is you better have a freaking solution. Because if the answer is, I don't know who the next manager is, I just know it's not him after he got to the fifth game of the World Series, I think you're doing it wrong. I think you need to have a solution. And that solution needs to provide answers to your questions for why you're getting rid of him. So if you think he's too soft on the team, well, who are you suggesting? Someone else who's basically going to be Aaron Boone Diet Coke? You know what I mean?
See, but Evan, that's not for the fans to figure out. Look, when the Mets last year, and we'll keep it local, wanted Craig Counsell to be their manager, they interviewed Carlos Mendoza. And did any of us really know what kind of manager Carlos Mendoza would be? Did any of us really say in September, you know who should manage the Mets? Carlos Mendoza. And I think he turned out to be a pretty good manager.
Sure.
That's on the Yankees and their assessment to know these other teams and other organizations and those right guys. I'm not telling you to go hire Buck Showalter. I've referenced Joe Girardi, or just a name because we've heard a name. The fact remains this. I think Aaron Boone is not the worst manager in the world, but I think we can officially say now that he finally climbed the mountaintop to get to a World Series. Did Aaron Boone help the team, hurt the team, or was it indifferent toward the team? I have to lean towards he hurt the team with his decision in game one and just the fact that this team was so fundamentally unsound. So if they're good enough talent-wise to get there with these problems, but those problems are what cost them, then I'm sorry, I need to look in another direction and find a guy whose strengths are that. And I apologize for not having that right answer, but that's on the Yankees and their scouting department and that system to know another guy somewhere else to be able to solve that problem.
To me, it's not about firing Aaron Boone. I'm not calling for Aaron Boone to get fired. I know some people want to. I know that people want their pound of flesh right now, especially after some of the mismanagement. But Aaron Boone is a good manager, and he's good with that clubhouse. And now, does he need to self-evaluate and go take some, I don't know, professional best practices classes? Probably, especially when it comes to the most critical moments in games or in phases of seasons, how you can best get the most out of your team. Sure. But I like Aaron Boone. I think he's a good manager. But there's a difference between being a good manager and a great manager. And the great managers win World Series. And we saw why he's not a great manager. It was right in front of us. So is he going to self-evaluate? Is he going to get pressed on these things? Or is it just going to be, you know, we were close. We were good enough to get to the World Series. You know how the Yankees like to speak to us?
Yeah.
Like we're ignorant and don't understand the minutiae of winning. Like we don't do it. We don't play. But I think we know what it takes to win. We've seen other teams do it. We saw the Dodgers do it. We saw Dave Roberts put a masterclass on, despite the criticism that he faced. And so I think there is a self-evaluation that is necessary in order to get better at what you do. Period. That's anybody. That's me calling games on Sundays. That was me playing football back, 15, 20 years ago at this point, right? You have to self-evaluate. You have to fix the things that are wrong, right? When someone criticizes you, it's not necessarily, I hate you and that's why I'm criticizing you. It's I'm criticizing you because I want you to do it better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so to me, Aaron Boone can be a great manager. He's just got to be better than what he's been doing, and or change what he's how he's been managing in certain moments of this season and previous seasons.
I'm with you on self-evaluation. I just don't know if Boone can become the guy that a lot of Yankee fans want him to become, because that's not who he is. Like, there's a difference between getting better at certain things or maybe improving your in-game managing. But Aaron Boone is a player manager. That's who he is, and that's not going to change.
Of course.
As much as people want him to be a hard ass and think that maybe the defensive miscues are because of that, which
By
is
the way,
clearly a theory people are going to have.
I don't think it's necessarily being a hard ass. I don't think it is screaming, and because Tony Dungy never raised his voice. I don't think Tony Dungy has said a curse word in his entire life, especially not as a coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and in the Indianapolis Colts. But he is so highly respected because he forced accountability. And it wasn't by going into the media and saying, yeah, everything is fine. These guys are doing everything exactly as we want. Like, I think sometimes being publicly called out, especially in 2024, where we are so aware of everything that goes on inside clubhouses, and or at least we can speculate about what goes on inside clubhouses, and you're going to tell us that it's all right when we know it's not all right, then guess what? Whoever we're criticizing also thinks it's all right because you're telling us.
Yeah.
You're telling it, like, and so there is a, it's not necessarily a, you got to change who you are. It's just, you got to create accountability. And for me, the biggest lack of, the biggest issue with Aaron Boone managed teams is that there is a lack of accountability. And it shows up in the little things, not the big grand things, but the little things that cost you World Series, like we saw last night, like we saw in previous, you know, iterations of this team.
So the real question you got to ask yourself, and I'll ask you, and I'll give you my answer on this, is can the New York Yankees win a world championship with Aaron Boone as their manager?
Yes.
They can.
They got to a World Series with Aaron Boone as their manager. Of course they can win a World Series.
But
the little things got to change. They do.
Yes. Yeah, because those little things cost them. I agree with you.
Of course.
And look, that's what happens in World Series sometimes, especially when you're facing another elite team. My attitude towards Aaron Boone is actually very similar to what it was last year off a losing season and what it was a year earlier after the ALCS. It's a very similar opinion, which is you can win with him. You can. If you have good enough players, if they play their best baseball at the right time, Aaron Boone can win a world championship. Most people listening... most people have taken their turns bashing my cousin, Dave Roberts. He just won a second world championship. Ned Yost, I thought, was one of the worst managers I've ever seen. He got to back-to-back World Series and won one with the Kansas City Royals. So I think you can win with Aaron Boone. But if the Yankees made an announcement today out of nowhere, they have a press release, we are moving on from Aaron Boone, I also don't think it would be the worst thing ever. Like, I don't think that would be like, oh my God, can you believe they got rid of Aaron Boone? I get it. My one thing I do feel strongly about, though, is I don't think the New York Yankees are in the position to hire somebody who's going to learn on the job. I think that's a mistake.
Right.
I thought it was a mistake with Boone when they got rid of Joe Girardi. I thought it was a mistake to get rid of Joe Girardi. My opinion is what I said on the radio at the time. And I think if you are going to make this move, just because you like the guy as a player, David Cone, just because you thought the guy got screwed based on Rob Manfred and cheating, Carlos Beltran, or just because you like the guy doesn't mean they're the right choice. So if you move on from Aaron Boone, which, fine, you can do it. I think players are the most important things anyway.
Yes.
If you do it, don't give me this learn-on-the-job training crap. And don't give me Mendy. I'll tell you the difference. And Tiki's going to back me up on this. What did Tiki say all year before the Mets proved they were legit?
Yeah, they were evaluating.
they were evaluating, right?
Yep.
Okay. When you're evaluating and you're just seeing what you got, you can hire a rookie manager. When you're trying to win a world championship, I don't know, man, with a $300 million payroll, with superstars everywhere, look, you can hire a rookie manager. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't do it, and I think it's way too risky. Well, so if you want to get rid of Boone, A, tell me who you want. Tell me who you think is better. You think Luis Rojas is better?
Nope, I got the guy.
Do I think I can manage the Yankees? Sure.
No.
All right, who is your... So first of all, just to be clear... I would not fire Aaron Boone, but I also don't think it's crazy if you do. Tiki would keep Aaron Boone. Sean wants him gone. And now you have a replacement. Go.
Donnie Baseball.
Oh, come on.
Mm.
He's got the experience, multiple places, managed a gutsy Marlin team, probably has learned a lot from his mistakes, and also can teach this captain a little something about being a captain in New York. Donnie, such a baseball.
Such a cliched Yankee fan answer.
Right.
Why? He's got experience. I laid it out. You want the experience,
Sean,
right?
Because I hate doing this because I'm a bad guy when I do this, but I'm sorry. I'm never going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you how I feel, even if it's not something you want to hear. Don Mattingly sucks as a manager, okay? I hate saying it. I don't like saying it, but it's the truth. He wasn't good with L.A. He wasn't good with the Marlins. And the only reason
he make the playoffs both places? Did he make the playoffs both places?
Aaron Boone's made the playoffs every year. You want him fired?
Okay. All right. Buck Showalter never won a World Series. You wanted him hired for the Mets. He made the playoffs multiple places.
First of all, but that's not the end-all be-all is my point.
Right.
My point is it's not the end-all be-all. You want to get rid of a guy that just got to the World Series. And you want to hire somebody that I'm just telling you, watching him a lot, I thought was a terrible manager. Doesn't mean he's never had success.
He's not allowed to have learned from his past mistakes and get the dream job I'm sure he covets?
If Don Mattingly wasn't like a childhood hero to most Yankee fans, if Don Mattingly wasn't a legendary Yankee, would you have brought his name up today?
Probably not. However, I'm thinking about available young enough former manager's experience, because if you're going to go that route, I'm going to say it. Also, I can't believe, Tiki, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something you hate and I hate. I'm going to get sucked into the Evan and Loogie world here for a second. You know what Don Mattingly can do here? Finish his story.
That's actually true.
You want me to give you an answer, by the way? I'm the best manager. And it's boring as hell, but I'm telling you right now, he's young. He's gotten experience. And I think it follows another script that you guys like. All right? And I promise you, it's not going to excite you. It's not going to make your nipples all, you know, tingly or anything like that. But what if I told you that there's a free agent manager, a guy who managed this last year, and he's available for nothing, and he's Skip Schumacher? He'd be the guy. Former manager of the Marlins.
Doesn't he drive for F1?
No, Skip Schumacher managed the Marlins the last 2 years, made the playoffs 2 years ago. They did lose 100 games this year, but they basically took everything away from him. But that's the kind of guy you would hire. And so, before you're ready to dump Boone, just ask yourself, would you be okay if that announcement came out tomorrow? If all of a sudden it's Boone's gone and Skip's coming to town, former manager of the year, what would your response be on WFN at 2:05 when Tiki and I were like, so Sean, what do you think?
I'd formulate something positive blindly, for sure. I don't know enough about him, but I'd formulate something positive, definitely. What about Jack McKean? Is he still around?
He's only 100. I hope he's still alive, by the way.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, he was old back in 2003, so I'm not sure how old he is now. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Let's go to Jay, who's calling from the fine town of Hoboken, New Jersey. Tiki loves that place. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how we doing? I actually have some bad news for Tiki. He needs to stay in his lane on this Aaron Boone take. I don't know how he thinks he could be a good manager. The guy blew the World Series in multiple different games. And he also helped blow 10 games a season at least, mismanaging the pitching roster. All he does is let a guy come in, pitch two outs, and then at the first sign of struggle, he takes him out and brings somebody in who's unprepared. And like you said before, if he's going to manage good teams, you could bring Robert Saleh in here, he would have blown less games than Aaron Boone. You know, there's not much to do as a baseball manager, but Boone is the worst in-game manager. He didn't go out once to complain on any calls. He didn't stick up for any of his players. And,
Jay,
you know, really, Boone lost.
Yeah. By the way, turn your signal off and stay in your own lane. I appreciate your call. But at the end of the day, it's one thing to manage a game in whatever sport we're talking about. It's another thing to manage the people. The thing that I'm talking about with Aaron Boone is how he manages people. I didn't play baseball, so you're right. I'll stay in my lane. But I'm talking about people. And how you motivate them. That I know a lot about. And what Aaron Boone failed to do, and this is the thing that I think he needs to correct, is learn how to manage his people, his team, how to get the best out of them, how to hold them accountable. Because we've seen the things over and over and over and over again. And it comes back to bite you in the fifth game of the World Series with dumb, stupid mistakes. Right? Guys who are well-coached and managed, they don't make dumb mistakes in the most critical moments. And it's what I said 2 days ago, Evan and Sean. Like, there's just laissez-fairness about how they go about accountability. It'll be all right. We'll be fine. Like, and you keep saying it. I keep hearing it over and over and over and over again. And so when we get these lazy plays or I don't know, Gleyber Torres throwing a ball too high to Anthony Volpe on trying to turn a double play and Freddie Freeman beats it out, right? That's the detail. That's the little thing that I'm talking about. That's the accountability. So, yeah, I didn't play baseball. So stay in your lane. Stay in my lane. I don't care. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing the little things right. And good managers manage people to the point that they do all the little things right. And guess what happens when that happens? You win. Period. Especially when you have a great team and they have great players on this Yankee team.
There are two aspects to managing, and you touched on one of those. The one that we see, the one that Jay mentioned, the one that I always have strong opinions are those in-game decisions, right? The good, the bad, the I'm not sure.
Right.
What I will tell you is, as critical as I've been about Aaron Boone, as critical as I was about 22 minutes ago talking about the Luke Weaver decision, and I stand by that, as critical as I've been about the decision to hit Jazz Chisholm cleanup and Giancarlo Stanton fifth, I could tell you that one of the fun things about baseball is we could sit here and kill managers all day.
Right.
But it's very difficult to take the good and the bad and then determine, is that guy a good in-game manager? I'll drive in my lane, and you all can think I'm a moron or I'm a hater or whatever. I'm going to be an IBO when I say this. Aaron Boone, as an in-game strategist, is okay. He's fine. He's not Miller Huggins. He's not John McGraw,
right.
But he's also not Art Howe.
And he doesn't
I've seen
need to
the
be.
Worst.
And he doesn't need to be the greatest.
I agree. And look, did he cost them the World Series with some managerial moves? Okay. Yes, I think he did. I thought Terry Collins did too. And I think when you're in a best of seven series or you're in a best of five series, yeah, that one move may cost you. But the one thing I won't agree that Aaron Boone is A, the worst manager in baseball, and B, that his in-game decisions overall is why the Yankees didn't win as much as they've been capable of over the last 8 years. Because I just don't think it's true. Just because I scream and yell about it doesn't mean overall he's just an idiot. Because I don't think he is.
Yeah, and by the way, this is nothing new in sports. It doesn't have to be one extreme or the other when it comes to Aaron Boone. Like Evan just laid out, it doesn't have to be he's the worst manager, he's not the great manager. But this goes for baseball, this goes for football, it goes for basketball, hockey, so on and so forth. Sometimes guys are fine. They're good enough. But you realize with certain teams, when you get to a certain point, that whatever's there, that extra little bit you need from whoever's running your team to really raise that banner and get a championship, maybe that guy's not the perfect answer to get you there. So if the Yankees don't bring back Aaron...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Boone. It's not because Aaron Boone's a crappy manager and shouldn't get a job tomorrow. It's just simply, maybe it is time for a change, that we've seen enough of this, that this team and this core group of guys needs a new voice and somebody else that could just take them that extra little bit that we saw they need to be taken here to finish the job.
By the way, Jack McKeon is 93 years old, still living.
Bring him
wow.
in. Bring him
you
in.
You know what's crazy about him being 93 years old? I keep thinking of him from 20 years ago, and he felt like he was 93 years old 20 years ago. Which means that he's
bad for his age.
I guess that's 73 though. If he's 93 and it was 20 years ago,
yeah,
73.
I mean,
he felt like an old 73.
He won the World Series at 72.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think of him
in the dugout.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hopefully, if you got him.
He was sneaking the cigs, Jimmy Leland style. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And yesterday on this show at about 5:30, we stated the case that this was a Gerrit Cole legacy game. Well, what was yesterday's performance? Was it a brilliant one? Was it a crappy one? We try to define what the legacy game was for Gerrit Cole, plus more of your reaction to last night and moving forward. Should Aaron Boone remain his manager? Did the Aaron Judge play haunt you and will haunt you for the rest of time? But I want to ask you a very difficult question. All right? May seem easy on the surface, but I want you to describe Gerrit Cole's performance last night. What was it? What did you think of Gerrit Cole's performance last night?
It was good, but to me it's now skewed because of the fifth inning. And it had nothing to do with his ability to get guys out. It was the mental error makes me not even think about how well he pitched.
So did he step up in a big game or no? It's tricky, isn't it?
It's very tricky. Did he do what he needed was supposed to do? Absolutely. And then it got marred. And so the problem is it's not defining enough. It wasn't defining enough of a performance. It was good enough. It was absolutely good enough, but it wasn't defining enough of a performance.
He handed the baseball to the bullpen with two outs in the seventh inning with a one-run lead. Now, if you frame it like that, right, you forget about anything else. Gerrit Cole threw 108 pitches, and he handed the baseball to the bullpen with two outs in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
If I had described that yesterday to you at 6:30, I think all of us would have said he did his job.
Yes.
If it was just that description. But his performance is one of the most complicated starting pitching performances I have ever seen because it's not simple. Like, the first four innings, Gerrit Cole dominated.
Yep.
There's no way. I mean, he was pitching a no-hitter. Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. And it all ended when Sean Morash's wife said, "Is Gerrit Cole pitching a no-hitter?" Isn't that what she texted you, Sean?
No, she texted me, "What time is the next game Friday?"
Oh,
that's even worse.
At 5-0, as Fat Joe was shown on the Jumbotron, more on that later.
But Gerrit Cole was dominating. Like, in the first inning, he threw seven pitches, and he clearly had it. In the second inning, he struck out back-to-back guys, and he clearly had it. After he issued that walk to Gavin Lux with two outs in the third inning, and they got Ohtani out, he clearly had it. He had it. And then, I think what really complicates this, Teague, to me, is that, okay, so the fifth inning, not all his fault. Aaron Judge drops a pop-up, not his fault. Anthony Volpe makes a miscue, not his fault. Mm-hmm. The play at first base is his fault. But he gets two huge outs, but at that point, after the weirdness of the play at first base, he's ahead of Freddie Freeman 1-2. If he gets him out, it's 5-1 going to the bottom of the fifth inning,
right.
And that mess of an inning is like a fly on the wall.
Right. It's bad, but you escaped it.
You did, and here's the problem. And I'm sorry, this may sound too harsh on Gerrit Cole, but I'm going to call it like it is. Despite all the things that weren't his fault, at 5-1, with the bases loaded and two out, he threw a four-seam fastball to Freddie Freeman that was right down the middle. That's the reality. Yep. And Freddie Freeman didn't smoke it, but he dumped it in the center field. That's a pitch that Gerrit Cole needs to have back.
Right.
Then, after that happens, okay, it's 5-3. You still have the lead.
I forget where Wells was set up. Did he miss it?
I think he was set up in, and the ball cut back over the middle of the plate, and Freeman was able to fist it in the center field. Then, the next batter, he gets ahead of 1-2, Teoscar Hernandez, and he threw a slider that hung right in the middle of the plate, and Teoscar hit it 400 feet. So, I have a tough time talking about his brilliance and blaming everybody else, and I'm not even talking about the defensive miscue, when he had a chance to get through the inning. Yes, he's looking for his fifth out of the inning, his sixth out of the inning. I get all that. But he's ahead of Freeman. He throws a fastball down the middle. He's ahead of Teoscar. He hangs a slider. If he doesn't do that, Tiki, he leaves with a 5-1 or 5-3 lead, and everything could be different.
I can't help but think about what Susan Waldman said to us when we were asking her, maybe Tom Verducci. We were asking about the short rest thing, because we ask everybody who came to visit us about Gerrit Cole on short rest. And the thing he said, and you don't think about it because he won a Cy Young a year ago, is that he's 34 years old. He's not the same, you know, spry, I can easily get up to 100 pitches pitcher and be on it for, I mean, I can throw 97 at pitch 90. Right? He's not that guy any longer. And that's just age taking its toll. And so I think in our mind, we still see him as that when he's probably not that. So he's going to miss some. Right, he's the ball's not going to go exactly where he wants it to go, but in our minds we still think he's that guy, and so that's why it's hard to evaluate him to me, because if all the miscues aside, if he gets out of the fifth inning, I think he probably pitches eight. He might go a complete game.
Well,
you know what I mean, and so and it's hard to me to say he was bad because he wasn't, no. But it was circumstances that made it kind of just like an performance.
It's the word would never be bad.
Yeah.
The word would be he had a 5-0 lead. In fact, there is no word. So I'm not giving you a word. I'm going to give you like a paragraph because I think that's how complicated it is. That's why it's a tough question. You know, sometimes when you sit there and say, what do you want from a starting pitcher? You know, it's very difficult to define because every game is so different. He had a 5-0 lead and he blew the lead. And he was a part of blowing that lead.
Yep.
Where he deserves a lot of credit, and I want to give that to him, was that he pitched the sixth inning.
Yeah.
And he got two outs in the seventh inning. Instead of the bullpen coming into that game early, and I thought Aaron Boone, I'm going to give him credit right now, at 98 pitches, he allowed him to stay in the game. And I think that was smart going into the seventh inning. At 85 pitches or whatever it was at, he allowed him to stay in the sixth inning after how difficult that fifth inning was. I thought those were good moves by him. So Cole deserves credit for the fact that he was able to get five more outs, but he allowed them back into the game. It was a bunch of events that occurred, some of it not his fault, but ultimately it was his fault. And that's why it's a very mixed bag for the legacy Gerrit Cole game.
Yeah, look, if the Yankees score 5 runs, I think I said this to you at the time, Evan, it's 5-0. And I understand that those were unearned runs, but you alluded to everything that happened after the drop ball and that he was part of the error. 5-run lead, ace on the mound, low pitch count entering that fifth inning, that needs to be enough runs to get you to a game 6 under every circumstance, including a couple of errors. So I think it's just the word they use is forgettable. You'll look back probably in lore and go, oh, his numbers were probably pretty good. But ultimately, he still didn't do enough, even if it wasn't all his fault. And that's it. Well, it's a forgettable performance.
Well, here are the numbers. As the geek who scored it, 6 2/3 innings, 0 earned runs. He didn't allow an earned run. All of those runs that scored in the fifth inning were unearned based on the errors by Aaron Judge and Anthony Volpe.
Wow.
So what do the stats say?
Good.
The stats
good.
Say he lowered his career postseason ERA.
And that's great. So when he goes to Cooperstown and he gets read off his postseason ERA, I'm sure everybody gave him a big hand. That's great. And I don't hate Gerrit Cole for it, but Fugazi didn't get enough of the job done. Sorry.
Right. But I don't think it's going to be – I'll take umbrage with one word you used there. It's not going to be forgettable because of what happened in the fifth inning.
Yeah. It's not forgettable.
No.
That's for
right.
sure.
No, his –
how he like his stat line, maybe.
Yes, that's what I mean. The game is not forgettable. The moment where he doesn't field first base is not forgettable. That whole fifth inning will not be forgettable. But in terms of the job he did and not giving up earned runs and looking back and trying to look at a very forgettable stat line.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Hartford, Connecticut on this Halloween afternoon. How are you, Mike?
Gentlemen, I got more agita from this World Series than I have in my entire life watching these guys play. The Dodgers out-fundamentaled them, they out-hustled them, they outclassed them, and that is a direct reflection on Aaron Boone, the mope of a manager that he is. If he ever wins a World Series, the team will win in spite of him, okay? Tiki, you mentioned it's the people relationship, right?
Yep.
My man, he's had 6 years to be an authoritarian. I was in the Marine Corps. I had a sergeant. He was a squad leader, Sergeant Stormy. What made him such an effective leader was that he held everybody accountable, okay? Aaron Boone does not hold his players accountable, and you saw that on the field. Aaron Judge is a coward for dropping that ball. Anthony Volpe and Jazz Chisholm are cowards for not catching that ball. Anthony Rizzo is a coward for not fielding that ball properly. Gerrit Cole is a coward for not covering first base. Aaron Boone is a coward for making the managerial mistakes. Brian Cashman is a coward for the way he constructed this roster. And Hal Steinbrenner is a coward because on Paul O'Neill Day, when I was in the stadium paying $120 for those 400 ticket seats to see my hero get his number retired, he didn't even have the decency to carry that jersey out by himself. He had his henchmen do it. This organization from top to bottom, it gives me more agita than I ever needed in life. And let me tell you another thing. I'm getting married on Saturday.
Wow, congrats.
God bless this team for having – thank you. God bless this team for having the decency to lose in 5 games. Dude, if I had to watch that and try to track that while I'm getting married, again, agita. The amount of agita I got. I had Tums. I put Tums in the bathroom. In the bathroom. I got 1,000 milligrams. Okay?
Oh, I love
this team with the agita. My goodness,
Mike.
Accountability goes a long way.
Mike. Thank you for your service, man. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you for your service. Congratulations on getting married on Saturday. Thank you for the call. That's a Yankee fan right there.
Now, Is it?
What are you mad at Mike for?
I hope he has a long-lasting marriage. God bless him. You picked your wedding date as a Yankee fan with this team for Game 7 of the World Series. By the way,
Make plans in October
or
November.
But here's my issue, Tiki. Game 7, we didn't find out about a week ago. All you had to do was do a little foresight and look ahead. The Game 7 of the World Series is pretty known for a while. You can't call yourself a Yankee team with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and your wife go, you know what, Game 7 World Series, good date, honey.
You know, not the day for that.
What a date.
No,
it is
not.
The date. That's real Yankee. No, Evan, real Yankee fans deserve to be pissed today and have all of their problems today. What that guy potentially did to 200 people showing up for fried calamari was put him in an uncomfortable spot so he could get $300 a plate from people and make them miss Game 7 of the World Series. That's a terrible Yankee fan.
Sean, while you may be right,
I am.
Okay.
Can I please jump in here at one point?
No,
please.
No, we've heard enough of you.
No. That was a great veteran, a guy who served this country. The only thing you ever served is your fat belly and your fat mouth. Who cares when he had his wedding? You're such a creep, dude, sometimes, really. That's the thing you come up with, deflection? Because your team stinks.
Sean, you know as good as well as anybody that is not his decision. Well, it is not.
And
you know what? He'll be
if
married.
He's
going to have a great marriage and a great wedding this weekend because it wasn't his decision. Sometimes you just say yes. Sorry. You don't worry about any of the other contingencies. You say, honey, okay, whatever you want.
There are
fights you don't fight. And that's one he shouldn't have, and he didn't. And I commend him for not fighting it.
So I agree with 80% of what you said. The only thing I'll disagree with is that would be a fight I'd have with my wife.
Why?
I would be. Game 7 of the World Series.
November 10th's a fine date. That's the problem. A week later's a fine date.
My only issue with you, Sean, is that, you know, Yankee fans are very upset today. All right? Yeah. And they have every right to be. Okay, this is, I think, different than Met fans a week and a half ago where you had guys like me that were sad and other Met fans wanting to celebrate the season. Okay, Yankee fans to a T are pissed off today, and they have every right to be. That guy is like you. He's pissed off. And I'm not going to parse his words. Tiki's not going to parse his words. You think Tiki and I agreed with calling everybody a coward? Not necessarily. But you know what we did? We respect his anger.
Yes.
And we respect the fact that, look, maybe 2 days from now, he'll say, I shouldn't have called Volpe a coward. Maybe just, you know, whatever other word you want to use. You let that man vent. Instead, you want to pick a fight about his wife pushing a Game 7 wedding that, by the way, doesn't even matter because there isn't a Game 7?
It's not about him and his wife. It's about the guests and what they potentially would have had to go through in a Game 7. That's all. And by the way, not his fault. Yankees have let him down. I'm probably being too harsh and too reactionary. I hope he has a DJ and not a band. That's where I'll leave it at that.
All I could think about from that whole exchange is... That guy served his country. The only thing you served is your fat stomach.
Yeah, I mean, the nerve on Sean to go to his playbook. By the way, he's got 5 plays. Army football runs more plays than Sean. You can't do anything on a football Sunday. The nerve of you, bro. Maybe he listened to you and he said, oh, maybe the Dodgers. What was your line then, Sean? The Yankees are by far the toughest competition for the Dodgers this year. So maybe he thought, like you, the series would be over in 5. Oh, wait, it was.
By the way, don't get into that. That I know that debate is coming, trust me.
I didn't get into anything. No, I didn't get anything. I'm just saying this fella and his wife, who I'm sure is a lovely lady, probably were like Sean. They'll be married in 48 hours. They probably figured this series would wrap up quickly. That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
That's all you got to say. Thank you for your service, and I feel you as a Yankee fan.
Yes.
I'm pissed off, too. I had the same agita over the course of this best of 7.
You were justified for your emotion. That's all you need to say.
I'm sorry, Chris. Enjoy your wedding.
Thank you. Let's go to Mike in Belmar, New Jersey. How are you doing today, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
So, Tiki, your point before kind of summed up everything I was feeling about accountability. And towards the end of your career, you played for one of the coaches who won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants who stressed accountability more than anybody else.
It was all accountability.
And, you know, that game, as you know, I'm going to be 48, and that was probably the toughest loss of any team that I've ever watched, just because of the big up of going 5-0 and the way that inning unfolded. But I'll leave you with this, Tiki, a Halloween little story that you gave my son, my third grade son, his Halloween costume idea.
Oh, nice. What is it?
So I go in his room a couple days ago, and he was a huge Saquon fan. He listens on the way home to you as I pick him up from school. So he hears sometimes on the radio. So I guess he heard the conversation when you were talking about his free agency, and if he goes to the Eagles, he's dead to me.
Right, the first day of free agency. Right.
Yes, absolutely. He was devastated. Favorite players going to the Eagles. He wanted to get rid of his jersey. I told him not to. So anyway, go in his room. He's ripping up the jersey, putting blood on it. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm gonna be Saquon Barkley." I was like, "What's Saquon Barkley as a Giant? Because he's dead to us."
That's great.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Tiki. My third-grade son went to school today, all bloodied up with a Saquon torn apart jersey. Nobody understood what the hell he was.
He's got to have a little sign that says, "Listen to WFAN." You'll understand.
Right, exactly. Listen to Tiki Barber, because this guy is dead to us, and that's why I'm a zombie.
That's awesome. That's one of the great – thank you for the call, man. That's one of the great Halloween costumes you can come up with.
Yeah.
Very creative. I was fortunate enough to
go to – It was funny. We had a parade today. You had one?
Yes.
So we had one today. Yes. There were a bunch of – I don't know if it was because of last – I know it wasn't because of last night, but there was a bunch of dead Yankees.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh my
God. Like zombie Yankees. And in my mind, I'm saying, there's no way that these kids thought that they were losing and that was indicative of that. They were just being zombie Yankees.
Unless they listened 2 days ago and heard hum, nitty hum.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's a creative one. I didn't see that. When I went to my kid's school, I was curious about like the sports jerseys or the sports athletes people would go at. You know who the most popular athlete people were dressed up as?
Jalen Brunson.
Malik Nabers.
Wow.
How about that? I saw multiple Malik Nabers at the school. I also saw somebody.
Did they drop any candy?
I'm glad you're able to make the joke. You know,
yes.
You guys are such Nabers defenders. I didn't know if you would make that joke. I also saw somebody. You ready for this creativity?
Go ahead.
A New York Mets Juan Soto jersey.
Oh.
What are we doing?
The thing about that is, we'll address Soto's free agency in a few minutes. Here's what I find risky about this. So I went down to Orlando years ago. I was at a Knicks Magic game, okay? And I'll never forget, this was right before LeBron's free agency. And someone was wearing a LeBron James Knicks jersey. And I remember thinking to myself, this is too risky. Like, I get it. It's funny now. He's a free agent. We're going to get him. It's trash talk. But then what happens in the likelihood that the player doesn't sign with your team? You talk about a useless jersey that you created. That's the most useless jersey one can create. So for now, it's funny. Oh, maybe Soto's a Met. But what if he's not a Met? Just like LeBron never ended up as a Knick. It just becomes like, why the hell did I do this?
Why were you in Orlando? And then why the heck were you at a Knick game?
Great question, Tommy. So I went down to spring training. I was down there following the Mets, following the Yankees, and the Knicks happened to be in Orlando that night. And so I thought, well, why wouldn't I go see good, fun live basketball? You know I love the NBA. And so I'll never forget this. I showed up to Knicks Magic with my Mets shirt on because I had just gone to a Mets spring training game. Way too many people started talking to me as if I was a Knicks fan. Did not like that. So I proceeded to do something that I was desperate, Teak. I went to the concession stand and bought a Dwight Howard jersey.
Oh, man.
Just so people wouldn't think I was a Knick fan.
Let's go Knicks.
Yeah.
That is an aggressive move to deflect.
I didn't like it, Teak. It was very insulting.
I mean, what was more insulting? The Dwight Howard jersey or being
I was fine with being think about this. It doesn't work with you, Teak, because you don't have any
season tickets, man.
Yeah, but I don't root for them. No one's confusing me as a Knick fan. I'm just an IBO. Just hanging out. This doesn't work for you because you're not a hateful human being, but Sean Morash is. If Sean was accidentally confused as a Jet fan, wouldn't he go out of his way to buy, I don't know, a New England Patriots sweatshirt just so people weren't confused that he's a Jet fan?
Never, because people confusing me for anything's been happening my whole life. So that's fine. I wouldn't stoop that low. I'm not buying somebody else's merchandise.
All right. Didn't work with you. Tommy, I'll try you.
Okay.
Tommy does not like the New York Yankees, okay? He's a Yankee hater. Today is Yankee Elimination Day for him, a day celebrated by Eddie Scazzeri, Tommy Lugauer, guys like that.
Bob Huesler, yes.
Bob Huesler, a lot of legends. If you were at a sporting event and mm-hmm. people started confusing you as a Yankee fan because, I don't know, you had a Knicks shirt on, would you not go out of your way to just get that Red Sox shirt on so people stop confusing you as a Yankee fan?
125%.
Thank you.
I would do that.
No. Thank you. No. Appreciate it. Thank you for your honesty, and thank you for making this point work, because Sean would not play with me, no. So I needed to...
No. I'm done playing today, Evan. I'm done. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.